We're going to turn our attention back now to the issue of the Iran nuclear deal. Of course, it was announced exactly 24 hours ago by the president, give or take a few minutes. And all of the analysis that has come from that, we already heard from David Paul Kuhn this morning, Real Clear Politics, pretty balanced approach he has to it all and measured. It falls to Congress, and every person in Congress is going to have to do their due diligence and basically make a good decision on this. Someone who has a little more on the line, at least in terms of local constituency, is Dan Kildee, Democratic Party congressman from Genesee County in our Great Lakes state, because he has a constituent being held in prison by the Iranian regime, Mr. Amir Hekmati. And Representative Kildee is on the line with us this morning to discuss, again, this particular issue and this imprisonment. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Great. Yeah, it's great to have you aboard here. So it's two-pronged with you. First of all, your initial take on this, and how do you look at this deal that's been announced in light of your constituent who is behind bars somewhere in Tehran, and you know, now with, I guess, the holding it over their head with negotiations is now gone. What are your hopes for his release?
Well, first of all, on the deal itself, I'm going to take all the time necessary. We have 60 days to review the agreement. I'm going to take the next days and weeks to really understand the full implication of what was negotiated. Too many members of Congress are rushing to make judgments one way or the other on this agreement, and I think that's a dangerous thing for a member of Congress to do. I was with a group of members last night where some people who've already decided they were opposed to it were citing elements of the agreement that simply are not even in the agreement. So we have to be careful, and I'm going to be very careful to examine it and then make a judgment whether it makes the world a safer place as compared to what the realistic options are, what the other real alternatives are. And that's one of the areas that gets very little discussion that really needs to be explored further. On the question of Amir Hekmati, while I think it has been very important that we not include the freedom of Amir or the other Americans as a part of the transaction, because we wouldn't want to trade their freedom for something that makes the world a less safe place, this moment now does occur as Congress considers this agreement, as the world considers the agreement. The moment occurs for Iran to demonstrate that they're serious. And one of the tangible ways that they could demonstrate that, that doesn't require a negotiation, doesn't require a counterparty, it's something they could do unilaterally, and that is release these Americans and send a signal to the world that they can be taken seriously. Hopefully they get that message, and that's a message that I'm going to continue to pound away at over the coming weeks.
You know the way that that has worked before, Congressman, through dealing through back channels. We don't have an embassy, but our interests are handled by other nations through their delegations at the United Nations and who do have embassies in Tehran. Do you get any positive vibe from that at all, or is it pretty quiet?
Well, I have ongoing discussions through many of those channels that you described myself. And I think everyone is of the view that the game has changed somewhat in the last 24 hours. And there's much more focus and attention on this question. But again, I'm hopeful. It's hard to be optimistic until I see some tangible evidence that Iran is seriously considering the release of these Americans. The job that I have right now is just to continue to press and press for their release.
Yeah, words matter. Yeah, the difference between hopeful and optimistic is a good counterpoint there. Back to the deal at hand itself. I understand that you're going to be briefed today. Your Democratic caucus is going to be briefed by the vice president. What are you hoping to hear from him?
Well, what I want to hear two things. One is much more detail on the inspections process and what that will look like, because I think there's a lot of speculation about what the inspections regime will include. And that's because, and this is an important point, we can't trust Iran. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do this agreement, but we can't trust Iran. We have to entrust the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, with the inspections that they will do to make sure that Iran is not cheating. So I want to know more about that. And then the other thing that I want to ask the vice president is, what his and the administration's analysis is of the alternative to no deal. What does it look like? Does that mean Israel will launch an airstrike, for example? Does it mean that there's a potential for other diplomacy? You know, what are the other options? Because the only way to judge this agreement is not just based on the text, but on the context. Like, what are the other paths look like? And then we can make, a much more informed judgment on whether this is the right path or not.
Does it concern you at all, again, without having looked at all of the specifics and gone over the text, does it concern you the idea that inspectors, rather than being able to do immediate inspections, could be delayed up to 24 days? In just as a layman here, that would seem to be problematic.
Well, I think the real question, that's what I need to know. And as a layman, it's difficult to make that judgment. That's why I want to rely on people who are much more familiar with nuclear capacity. The one thing we know for sure is that they don't currently possess the capacity. So the issue here is not whether Iran, first of all, they say in the agreement that they will not pursue and will not aspire to create a nuclear weapon.
Uh-huh.
If we see anything, first of all, 24 days is not enough time to develop a nuclear weapon. But if we determine...
It's enough time to hide something.
It could be, but the point is that that's why the type of inspections and the location of the inspections is critical.
Mm.
Because it is somewhat more difficult, I think, to develop a full nuclear weapon with the kind of inspections and the other intelligence assets that we have available to us, most of which it's hard to discuss. But the real question here, when we think about the other alternatives, is whether those other alternatives are still available to us if we do this deal. And that's one of the questions that I think has to be answered. In other words, if military action is the alternative to diplomacy, does this accepting this diplomatic agreement preclude us from military action if, in fact, we find that they are cheating? And I think the answer to that is no. What I'm hoping I see, and I haven't come to any conclusion on this, is that we can sort of have it both ways. We can pursue this course, and if it works, great. That makes the world a safer place. If we determine that it does not work, that doesn't mean that the other options that we could consider aren't still available to us. And that's one of the questions that I haven't come to a conclusion on, but one that I'm going to focus a lot of my attention on in the coming days and weeks.
If you had the opportunity, if things were to change, if this were to pass through Congress, and if you had the opportunity to go on a goodwill, as a fact-finding at goodwill to Tehran, and given the light with your constituent, would you do that? Would you take them up on that?
I would. I'll tell you why. I've met with many Iranian officials and many Iranian people. The Iranian population itself, they have a very fond, many of them, not all, have a very fond sense of the United States. They love American culture. They do have their extreme voices, and there are many of them.
Yes.
But I think the majority, based on my experience of Iranians, have an appreciation for our system of democracy and our culture. And it's a very sophisticated, highly educated, highly developed society. And I think more engagement between Iranian citizens and the American people might be just what it takes to move Iran back to the global community. It's going to be the people of Iran, not the government of Iran, that will do that. And that's one of the reasons that I would certainly be interested in participating in any visit to Iran if that opportunity ever came up.
Congressman, I would say, to bring it back around with two words used earlier, that's both a hopeful and optimistic viewpoint looking forward down the road. Dan Kildee is Democratic Party Congressman, Genesee County native here, and very appreciative to have you on the line this morning to discuss this issue. I know that we will do so again. Have a wonderful day, Congressman.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.